And here again with Bobby Asadori, and this is your opportunity to just ask Bob. Good to see you again. I'm just going to flip on a couple of these. I'm not sure which one it is. Go test. See what happens.
Test.
There you go. That would be you there.
Always a pleasure to be here, John. I mean that.
The weather, of course, is a little bit better today. You got to work on a Saturday?
Almost every Saturday. Sundays, I mean, I promise myself, my children, and my wife, Sundays, July and August, I refuse to work. At least those 2 months. I mean, it's picnic days. Well, maybe not this one, as the weather network's telling us here.
70% chance of thunder showers and also in precipitation through the day.
But it is
going to get muggy. They're saying that it's going to be nice tomorrow, nice in 28, but then showers in about 23 on Sunday. So as far as Environment Canada is concerned, the high on Sunday is going to be 23, but Weather Network's saying it's going to be up to 27. So.
Oh, interesting. We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see. But again, weekends are so important. I mean, that's when homeowners really want to see me. I mean, other than July and August, the other 10 months of the year, I'm out and running around almost every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But at least for 2 months, I feel I deserve those days off. I mean, you've got the twins. You know what it's like with children.
Yeah.
You need to spend that time with them. And unfortunately, this summer's just been terrible. We've been to the beach once, one Sunday so far, and we're probably almost half, three quarters of the way through summer. And most of us had jackets on. You know, certainly we weren't able to swim, weren't able to do much, but the kids had a good time. There was the, the little play area there, the splash pad.
Kids don't notice the weather as much as we do.
Exactly.
They don't really care if the skies are gray.
That's a blessing.
If there's a ball in the grass that they can kick, they're fine with that. And plus, kids can have a great time inside, too, if you can find things to do inside.
True.
If it's raining hard enough that you really can't go outside, like it's flooding, then and certainly if people have had those experiences in the last couple of weeks here in the Hamilton area. So.
Where were you Sunday when the big floods hit?
Watching the water accumulate in my backyard, actually, and it got up to about 6 inches deep before the ground could start to absorb it.
Was your basement okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, no, terrific,
yeah,
terrific.
No, we've got an in-ground pump, and it's fine.
Well, I've talked to a lot of my homeowners, and again, the older area of Hamilton, double-bricked homes near the east end, near the escarpment. It's just hit and miss. I mean, some people got it, some didn't. Some, unfortunately, have had it too many times, and the insurance company's not covering them now. You know, it's really unfortunate, but a lot of those homes, what's helped is at times I've disconnected the downspouts. I mean, that's really, really important. They're combination storm sewers. So you can imagine, there were the roof rainwater going through the same channel, same pipe. So by disconnecting that, I mean, again, you're still flooding the yard, and you've got the chance of water coming in that way. But, I mean, I'm really at a loss for it. You know, what's going to eventually happen with this? The infrastructure really has got to be updated.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you do. What kind of things can you help out? And from RRR, can you, as a Hamilton contractor, can you get out and fix that sort of thing? Or would you have somebody on your staff or the people that you would call to help? Well, I'll be honest,
I really don't specialize in that. I mean, I won't mention any names, but there are a couple of well-known companies. You probably, if you go out in that east area where the flood happened, you'll see their trucks and vans everywhere. See, they specialize. They work direct for the insurance company, and they go in. Now, there was one time. Actually, it wasn't flood restoration, but I mean, it was a break-in, and it was just, you know, it wasn't an easy process getting involved, getting the quote in. It was, with the insurance broker, but eventually the homeowner, I was already the contractor for the homeowner, so they really, really pushed and got me in there. You know, it was a break and enter. I had to replace the door and do some trim work, but as far as the flood work, I mean, if a homeowner can get reimbursed after, because it still takes time with the insurance company, the main thing is get everything out of the way safely. I mean, make sure if the hydro's got to be cut off, gas has to be cut off. But the Hamilton City website, they've got a ton of information.
Yes, I was reading it. I was talking to Mayor Fred earlier this week and reading that stuff, like the Riot Act, because there's so much of it. Regardless of whether it's about the hydro situation or whether you should throw your food out and how long it can stay frozen and won't stay frozen and other things to avoid, things you should not touch, things you need to wash, things you need to bleach, all that
fantastic
stuff.
Fantastic website. Yeah. Easy to read, though, like very, very well put together.
Yep.
But, I mean, the homeowners right away, they've got to keep all their receipts because, again, it can be a slow process. No insurance company, even if you're covered, let's assume, checks aren't going to start flying. Take pictures, take documentation, go out, get rubber gloves, get bleach, get whatever you need, you know, really good high quality wet dry vac, you know, start pulling things out, getting them away, bleaching, doing what you can until the insurance company comes in. And again, all your receipts, documentation, everything you've spent, you'll get it all back after. So, I mean, in my case, I'm not really set up for it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's by the masses, and I mean, you need a big crew for that. And you know, we've had a few calls about you know, trying to take up some of the slack because some of these homeowners are going to be waiting too long, and I'm really busy on other
because
stuff right
so
now.
Many, yeah.
Oh no, there's so many. Yeah. There's so much going on. But, you know, again, I feel sorry for everybody. It's not an easy thing to have. And it's happened to me. I mean, I lived in that area just before September. It happened to me three times, but very fortunately, I'd never finished the basement. I mean, I knew enough. When I bought the home, I mean, I thought about finishing the basement. And I said, forget it. We've got enough living space. It was only the wife and I. We didn't have any kids. And the twice that it happened, just very easy. Brought the garden hose downstairs, block foundation walls, concrete floor. Hosed everything down the drain it went once yep. the backup was done. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that case, it was easy. But when the basement's done, I mean, carpeting, pictures. Well, at least one thing people have to do, keep your valuables out of the basement.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people looking for their insurance policies and they're filed on the floor in the basement, you know, after it's turned into a swimming pool. Anything of value, and even in a new home, you never know.
Your good
keep
TV.
Those things
you might
upstairs.
Want to keep your good TV. Upstairs,
upstairs exactly.
Yeah.
The plasma and the LCD.
The big 60-inch plasma that you just bought.
Upstairs.
Keep
it's
that
it's
upstairs
really important.
Rather than in the rec room. Yeah.
So you've got a sump pump at your home.
Built in. Yeah.
Yeah, built in. I've got that as well. But again, a lot of these homes don't. One thing that I can recommend to everybody is a backflow preventer. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't install them, but from what I understand, you're looking at anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000. There's some cutting involved in the concrete floor. They essentially put this component in. It's a one-way valve. It will let water leave the home, but when there's a backup, the flap shuts and water should not fill up in your basement.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. I know a few homeowners that had it installed that did live in the, you know, the flood-prone area,
right?
And they survived Sunday storm.
Probably good to inspect that about every 6 months or so to make sure
definitely.
That the flap is still
definitely.
Strong.
There's an access at the top. There's a litter of flap that can be opened. You can reach in. Again, wear gloves. You take the flap out seasonally or whatnot, clean it out a bit, put it back in. Always look at it. The last thing you want to have is it hasn't been attended to mm-hmm. and, you know, improperly working when we get a backup or a flash flood.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, yeah, these ones that are in ground that are right built into your floor are amazing because they do about 25 gallons a minute.
Exactly. Exactly. Very nice units.
You know, winter time, you get a wet winter, you'll hear them humming quite a bit through January and February. If it's that go through that freeze thaw, you'll mm-hmm. hear them working quite mm-hmm. a bit. But you'd rather hear it than not.
Exactly.
You know.
Now, speaking of drips and water, a problem we're having is with eavesdrops. I'm really backed up, so to speak, on eavesdropping work. You know, we booked this work, and again, maybe I'm pickier than others, but I don't want rain for 2 days. I mean, and with the percentage of precipitation, I mean, there's always a chance of rain. So we've got quite a few jobs now that we're backed up or delayed on getting to, because, you know, when you install the new eavesdrop, there is always sealant involved. You've got to seal the miters, the corners. Mm-hmm. You don't want any wetness or dampness on the day one or day two.
That's right. You can't stand up there with a hairdryer.
No. Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, sometimes they fill up with water quickly. So really, you know, we're having a little bit of a difficulty this year in catching up on those jobs. And I mean, hopefully, well, fortunately, at least, I mean, the homeowners understand. I certainly don't make it rain. If it was my choice, it would be a dry summer every day.
If you could make it rain, you wouldn't be here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Actually, you know what? The other thing I was going to ask you about eavesdrops, what do you think about the screens that you can put over eavesdrops to keep leaves and stuff from getting in them?
The screens are interesting. I mean, the screens, to be quite honest, I'm not comfortable with installing them at this point because I find, and again, it's hit or miss, I find they can cause problems. Now, the screen will keep things from getting in, but some of the screens can also build up and clog. So, I mean, think of it this way. You don't have to go up and clean your eavesdrops every now and then, but now you've got to go up and clean the screens.
That's right.
And I've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of low-quality screens out there. If you're really, really insistent on one, go with an aluminum screen. An aluminum screen seems to be one of the best ones. And again, there's good, better, and best on the market. But in my opinion, the old-fashioned way, I mean, depending where you live, you may have to climb up once every 2 years. Some areas as often as every 6 months.
If you've got some old-growth trees, it might be 6 months. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. And again, depending on the twigs, I mean, you know those little sort of like butterfly twigs?
Yeah.
Those will clog the screen. And now what you've got, heavy waterfall, the water will not get in the eavesdrop. You'll have a flooding effect. It just rivers right over it. I know of three homes where it happened. Again, it wasn't my install. I've always been cautious about it. But, I mean, you've eliminated the maintenance of cleaning your eavesdrops, and you've a new maintenance now of going up and cleaning the screens.
In particular, if the screen is too tight.
Exactly.
You know, the screen has to be a fairly large size because, you know, a lot of things that go through the screen aren't necessarily going to block your drain.
Correct.
If the screen is a looser fit. But if your screen is too tight, then everything just lies on top of that. And it's like you say, it's just now you just have to clean the screen rather than the trough itself. So.
Well, another problem, too, is small downspouts. A lot of homes have the little narrow ones, 2-inch by 3-inch. Anything I've installed in the last 4 years now, we've updated everything, supersized it, so to speak, 3x3. Big square downspouts. Problem is, older Hamilton has it connected to the storm sewer. Now, the problem there is you don't want anything getting through because it can clog the home sewer. Yeah. Now, if you disconnect it and you have it draining, rain barrel possibly, that's very green.
Rain barrels are great.
Oh, no, exactly. Yeah. Have it drain into the rain barrel or have it drain onto the grass. Now, if a few leaves or debris gets in, not a big deal. It'll get out of the downspout at some point. But the real issue is with people getting it going into the storm sewer, and it ends up causing a blockage. And then what happens in those homes, I mean, it could be thousands of dollars to excavate the ground. I mean, that cast iron pipe runs parallel with the foundation down 4 to 6 feet. So most homeowners, that's when they realize, forget it then. They tell me, cut it off at the bottom, let's put it in a rain barrel, or let's have it just pour down the driveway or exit to the yard.
That's the one that was at my house in Old Hamilton was actually, it was cut off at the ground level.
Okay.
And then they paved over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Just paved right over it.
Just so there was, because they didn't leave any lawn or anything along the side of the house, they just increased the driveway width.
Okay.
And paved right over it. I thought, okay, maybe. All right.
It's strange sometimes what you see, again, especially in Old Hamilton.
I mean, it never backed up into it or forced the pavement off of it or anything like that. So I guess it's okay.
Yeah,
there's not really much that can help to it.
Yeah, no, it won't hurt. It won't hurt at all.
Okay, 1242, and I'll give you one question from your very own website.
Okay, oh, terrific.
That you have to answer. All I want you to do is fill in the minutes.
Test me.
All right. A good contractor will always telephone if he will be more than blank minutes late for an appointment.
15.
Actually, it says 10.
10 to 15.
I beat you with your own website.
No, but it's so important, though. I've called people all the time. I mean, it happens. I don't believe in the shock. I mean, even on my street now, I'm working for somebody three homes over. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm being overly formal. I will phone before going over. I'm the same way. You don't come shock triple R. You don't just family or friends listening. Yeah. You don't just come knock, ring the doorbell or whatnot. You know, it's just a respect issue. You call people, you let them know. And I've always found when you're honest with somebody, you call them up, you explain something's happened, we'll be 15 minutes late or the worst case scenario, within an hour or two. Mm-hmm. People will be understanding as long as you call. Don't just show up because, you know, the people be in a little bit of a bad mood when you just start banging on the door, ringing the doorbell.
Some people have to go to work. They might be
That too.
They might be leaving you in the home on your own because, you know, you're bonded or whatever. And then so, you know, you're supposed to be able to be there and they can trust you
exactly.
to be there.
Exactly.
If they have to go to work and you say you're going to be there at 8 a.m. and they leave for work at 8:15 and you're still not there at 8:15, you've caused yourself and them a real headache.
Exactly. Your being late will make them late.
Absolutely. More with Bobby Asadorian, RRR Inc. Contracting.ca is the website. We're back with more Experts on Call after this from Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820. We should update that because today's guest makes it sound so formal. You're like a member of the family around here these days. We're talking to Bobby Asadorian. RRR Inc. Contracting.ca is the website, and it stands for, the RRR stands for Repair, Rebuild, Renovate, but it also stands for Respectable, Reliable, and Reputable.
Very important.
Not reading, writing, arithmetic, which, of course, is not really three R's at all. That's part of what we were just talking about telephoning ahead if you're going to be more than 10 minutes late for an appointment. Let's get a question.
Yes. Shelly from Hamilton. She sent me an email the other day. Looks like she's inherited or gotten herself an older property in Hamilton, plaster. Now, her question was something to the effect of, what is the best compound or product to use to repair cracks and also small holes in plaster walls? Now, from her email, I take it she's been to the big box stores and been a little overwhelmed. There's everything from polyfill that I'm sure we all grew up and our parents were using.
The only thing available at one time,
and it's still there. Now, I can't really attest to how well that works. I don't use it. But again, there's products that are already mixed in the pail, the famous white with the blue lid plastic one that we all know of. Also, products that are powder form. Now, the one that I recommend the most for plaster is Durabond 90. It's in the big, big brown bag. It is powder form. Now, even years ago, I mean, before I was even into it, I hated powder form. I didn't like mixing it. I wouldn't mix it right.
Well, it's a bit time consuming.
Oh, no, it is. It is. So homeowners will always be tempted to buy the stuff that's mixed. But I mean, especially if you're dealing with plaster walls, buy the Durabond 90. Just careful. Only mix enough that you can use. Mm-hmm. Now, it's called 90 for a reason. In 90 minutes, it's rock hard. So only mix enough that you can use within an hour.
Yeah, that you won't get with the blue and white CGC.
Oh, no, exactly. You can leave that open almost forever.
You get at least 12 hours on that.
Exactly. Yeah. But what's so important about the plaster walls is what I've termed as carving. Now, anywhere there's a crack or a problem, get a very, very sharp knife, utility knife, carve the edges so everything's an innie. It's really important to score the surface because you don't want it an outie. So once it's an innie, I mean, carve it out a bit, even open it up a bit. If the crack's only, you know, nothing, I mean, a hair's thickness, you're not going to get any product in there. Mm. So what I always tell homeowners, especially if they're watching or they want to know what I'm doing in their homes, I have to make it worse before I make it better.
Now,
so,
if we're talking lath and plaster, when we're going way back, would you still use some kind of netting in there, or would you need it with a 90?
What works well is at some points I couldn't find it, and believe it or not, from the big stores, I would pick up fiberglass window screening.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, it works. It really works well. What they've got now, though, finally they've got it, is, I mean, you know, usually the mesh tape for the drywall joints is only about an inch and a half. Mm-hmm. Now they've got stuff that's wider. So especially when you've got the plaster and lath, you have to have some kind of mesh.
Yeah.
Now forget about the regular cheap stuff, the tape the drywallers use. Mm-hmm. Buy the fiberglass one. It's so much better. It sticks itself. Those little holes, they'll get the Durabond 90. In. So really important, prepare the surface, make the hole a little wider and bigger, especially if they're, you know, a hairline thickness, fill it in with Durabond 90, and then anything larger, again, use window screen mesh or use the proper mesh, then to finish off, two coats, and I like to use extra light compound.
I know you love when you hear stories from the nightmares that I've seen.
I hear them every day.
You know what I've seen? Chicken wire.
Really?
Yeah, that people have used lath and plaster, chicken wire with lath and plaster.
No, you can. I mean, it's amazing what you find in there. There's actually horse hairs
little,
in there.
A little too amazing.
They would mix the original plasterers, would mix horse hair in with the, you know, with the compound for the plastering. That would give it strength. A lot of heavy, heavy corners.
Going to take a call here in a second.
Terrific.
Yeah. You ready?
Terrific. Yes, we're ready.
Bob from Hamilton, how you doing today?
Hi, very good. Thanks. How are you doing?
Excellent. You got a question for Bob?
Yes, sir. I'm contemplating getting the outside done in stucco.
Okay.
And I've had a couple of quotes. I know it's quite expensive, but I'm concerned about the maintenance and how it's kept clean or how easily it's kept clean.
Okay. Now, by stucco, I assume you are going with the latest, being the synthetic stucco, which is installed over the styrofoam.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, no, because, I mean, it's still around. There's still the old school way, mm-hmm. which is essentially, you know, the wire screening or the wire mesh with the actual concrete product on it.
Right.
Now, is this going to be, because, I mean, I know where you're heading with the concern about how it's going to last. I mean, if it dents or whatnot, or if it's going to stain.
Right.
Is this the entire home or is it the upper area?
The entire home. It's a one-floor bungalow.
Oh, okay, you want to do the entire home.
Yes.
Well, I mean, again, there's people disagree with me, but I mean, there's so many ways to do it. I've seen homes with stucco that staining occurs.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, poor quality. You know, you've got nice flashing around windows and doors, and somebody puts in the wrong type of screw or fastener.
Right.
You see staining on it. Outside of Eastgate Mall, you know, it hasn't been too long, but I mean, again, it's a shopping center, so people are always going in and out the doors. You can see the corner where it's chipped, and you see the mesh underneath.
Right.
Again, I don't want to scare you off with it, but I'm even my own home here. See, I don't mind personally. I love the look of stucco, mm-hmm. but I like a little bit of it, you know, up high where it's not going to be hit, where it's not going to be bumped into.
Right.
And I mean, it's very popular, and I mean, even my own subdivision there, I have seen homes where they've done it different ways. It's all around the entire home. Other homes, they'll do a stone skirt or even a brick skirt, you know, up a couple of feet.
I was going to suggest maybe at the bottom.
At the bottom. See, that's the weak link. The bottom is where it's the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, it's a very hot issue. There are people that will insist, swear by it and swear against it. You know, our climate is very cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is really, originally, a climate like California, an area where they don't go through the weather changes that we do.
Right.
So really, I mean, you drive around, you know, look at homes that it's just been done on. Look at homes 5-10 years that have had it for that long.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy decision, but good R value. But I mean, again, the price is high. It's almost on par with even brick and stonework.
Right. Yeah. I had the same price for the vinyl siding. and it was half.
Wow.
Half of what the stucco was, yeah.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
But it is such a nice look.
Oh, no, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful look, but you've really got to be careful. Again, another important thing is before hiring, before signing in the dotted line, definitely go out and see a couple of jobs that they've done.
Yes.
Not that they just finished, but jobs that have been around for a few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, very, very important. This is a science that, you know, not any layman can do. This has to be something that they're masters at.
Right.
But as far as durability, I mean, nothing's going to go wrong with it immediately, but it just depends how picky you are. I mean, there can be staining issues, and it is vulnerable. It is probably, it's more vulnerable to impact than even vinyl siding, brick or stone.
Right.
So, I mean, at the lower areas, it is susceptible, especially the corners. They tend to pop or chip in, and then, you know, it needs repairing. And then the whole problem, too, with repairing it is, at least thus far, I've not seen a repair that I can call invisible or perfect.
Right.
You know, the repairs that you look at, I mean, you can see that it's been repaired.
Okay.
So it gets tricky, but really, really do your research.
Okay.
Okay. Hope I've helped.
You have so.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
You have a good weekend.
Okay. You too.
Okay.
Enjoy the long weekend.
That's, yeah, I will. Yeah,
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. So a great question from Bob, because we were just actually talking, I believe last week, about how, like you say, it's difficult to get a seamless repair.
It's almost impossible.
So to have that little brick skirt or little stone skirt around the bottom.
I love the contrast.
You can even make a nice wood skirt if you're good at it.
No, if you're very good at it. But I like the contrast. I mean, again, I like the stone or even brick, and you see it on homes. 3 or 4 feet, and then they've got the precast, or the stone sills, and then the stucco goes up from there.
Yeah.
The bottom's weak. The bottom's not as strong, especially, too, it's close to the grass.
Yes,
I mean, think about it. You've got your grass.
It's against the elements
almost. Depending how high the home is, what, maybe 8-10 inches of foundation and then stucco?
Yeah.
Within 5 years, it will start to show age around the bottom.
Mm. Yeah, and if you're careless with your whippersnipper.
Even the green just from the grass.
Sure.
It can stain.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what fasteners they've used. I mean, I've seen around windows, sometimes light fixtures. I mean, you think about it, somebody doing such an exquisite job on a home, and then the homeowner going and putting on, or somebody, you know, like a $5 jam jar fixture. And, you know, they're not even cast aluminum, those light fixtures.
Absolutely.
They're cheap metal ones. They start rusting.
Yeah.
The rust comes down.
It's all going to bleed.
Light colored stucco, it bleeds, and then what do you do? How do you really get it off when it penetrates right in?
Mm-hmm.
Not easy.
Well, you're going to cut a hole, and then it's not going to look right.
No, no. But I'm really glad he called. I mean, I'm not a stucco specialist. I don't do stucco for a living.
Right.
But I know enough to look at it and see it around in my own home, and a lot of it's common sense. Like, I love it in my home. It's just above the garage, just the front of my oldest boy's bedroom.
Yeah.
Nice compliment to the brick.
Cool. We're just about out of time. Anything you want to add to have you? What do you got planned next? What's coming up?
What's coming up next? Well, we've just finished the bathroom, so I'm really pleased about that. The homeowner is ecstatic. We're going to be putting up a really nice reference on our website. But I really want everybody to know, please send the questions in. You can phone them in, 289-649-0196, or, of course, the website, www.RRINCcontracting.ca. I want to wish everybody a happy weekend. Get some rest.
Absolutely. And, there's actually a Contact Us page. If you go to RRINCcontracting.ca, go to the homepage. Along the top line, you'll see Home Services, About Us, Before, After, Contact Us, and Just Ask Bob. You just click on the Just Ask
Bob. Well, John,
Bob,
while you've got it on my website there, click on the yellow. Click on Now Live on Radio. This is brand new.
Okay.
We have a menu now. All of our radio shows within the last few weeks are actually on the website.
Awesome. Look at that.
So this is fantastic. I mean, obviously, it's on 12:30 to 1. Some people are working. Some people miss it. All of our listeners, whether from the comfort of your home or office, you can now listen to all of my radio show programs on the website.
Excellent. Yeah. You have to get a picture of me on there.
We will.
I'm kidding.
Actually, we're going to put on the one we took in here for the first show.
All right. All right. Thanks again for this. And like you said, RRINCcontracting.ca is the website, and you can go there to just ask Bob, and maybe you'll have that question to ask next time around.
Terrific.
Always good to see you.
Excellent.
Okay,
pleasure
too.
Thanks, John.
Experts on Call, and now we're on to the big show right after our 1 o'clock news from Hamilton's All New Talk Station, Talk 820.